Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I told you about Adrien Basson. He's editor of News 24. He wrote an article that I thought was very, very powerful and very, very hard-hitting on the ANC, the sickening whataboutism of the Russian-Ukrainian war. Adrien Basson joins us this morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
Hello, Howard. I'm good. And you?
I am good, thank you. Your frustration comes through in this article more so than in almost any of your other columns that I've read. Is that what you were feeling when you wrote this?
Yeah, I do. I have been writing some angry columns. Maybe I must write some mild ones again. Look, I've just been absolutely outraged and shocked by the South African government's response to the war in the Ukraine. I mean, they wouldn't even use that word.
What is a crisis? It's a crisis.
Yeah, and according to former President Jacob Zuma, impasse.
Impasse.
I mean, it's just, I find it astounding. I find it shocking for a country, for a government, for a governing party who was less than 30 years ago was at the forefront of asking the world to introduce sanctions against the apartheid state, who had the entire struggle founded in a struggle for democracy, human rights, and constitutionalism. And unfortunately, it seems to me that that kind of revisionist approach to what's happening in the Ukraine has now spilled over into other sectors of society, mainly the Nelson Mandela Foundation, which was the subject of my column. I was really, really shocked and disappointed by their stance on this whole matter. And I think the point I tried to make in my column is, you know, the Nelson Mandela Foundation, which could potentially play a very powerful and important and significant role in a conflict in a time like this, you know, has literally gone out there bashing America in a statement about the Ukraine invasion.
Yeah, we spoke to a political analyst yesterday of international politics, and his comment was, well, this is all about America, and South Africa did the right thing by remaining neutral. He says abstaining was neutral, and it's only because of people like me in the media that it's being portrayed as otherwise. So I said, well, whereas I'm flattered to represent the media, I certainly don't. I represent myself, and yeah. I do believe that at a time, abstention is, in terms of the United Nations, is taking a side. It did take a side. But not condemning the aggressor in a time like this, you are taking sides. And you can't hide behind neutrality and politics while people are being killed and lives destroyed.
I think Tuli Maronsela said it very well on her Twitter feed in a thread where she explained why she supports Ukraine and you know why she's criticizing Russia. Howard, of course, all of these kind of events are steeped in history. So there's a long context to the Minsk Treaty of the late 80s and the expansion of NATO into closer to the east, etc. But you know, the bottom line remains: absolutely no justification for Russia to invade a sovereign democracy. And literally, as you rightly said, killing civilians, families, increasingly more children, in some kind of power play against America or the West. You know, I simply cannot find justification in South Africa's stance to abstain and ask for dialogue. You know, I mean, with all respect to President Ramaphosa, and I mean, I've been defending him much in the past because I don't think he is as bad as some people make him out to be. But on this, I think he's completely wrong. I think he's at his position of asking for mediation while children are being killed. I mean, that is, you know, of course there should be negotiations on the side, and of course one hopes for a treaty of sorts. But why can't you, in the same breath, in the same statement, condemn the killing of innocents and the absolute unilateral invasion of a sovereign state?
Doesn't it say something very, very worrying about the ANC? If you can turn an eye, if you can be left cold by the situation there, should it be surprising, therefore, that when we look at, one of our listeners mentioned things like pit toilets, when we look at the immense problems and issues that we are facing here in South Africa, that the ANC continues to fight amongst themselves, not, in inverted commas, read the room, not understand, not have the ability to look inward and see what they've caused in terms of corruption. Surely that should not come as a surprise, therefore, that they can remove the human element of this Russian-Ukrainian conflict to make it about politics and not about the human side.
No, I think you're right, and I think I've written that I think the ANC is going to lose power in 2 years' time. I think they're going to receive less than 50% of the popular vote in 2024, and that's why you see at the same time xenophobia rising rapidly in Gauteng specifically, and the ANC just not rising to the occasion because it's desperate times. And I'm afraid that you'll see a more populist ANC position on these kind of things as the party starts losing power towards 2024. It is just a shame, and I mean, we have to call it out as journalists and commentators. It's a shame that this party who was led by people like Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Walter Sisulu, Ahmed Kathrada, were absolute champions of peace, democracy, constitutionalism, And ironically, like I said earlier, and I think this is one of the biggest ironies, that the ANC, the tactic that they use against the apartheid state, very much is what Ukraine is trying to do now with encouraging sanctions, asking for help, highlighting the fact that Russia has absolutely no media freedom to speak of, the journalists are being jailed. This is the type of stuff that apartheid South Africa did. And this was what the struggle was against. So... No, I think you're right. It's a poor showing for the ANC. It just shows how low the party's morals have sunk, and I think it's just another step on the road to ultimate ANC defeat in 2 years.
This defense that, well, they were a friend of ours at a time that, when the ANC and the country were struggling against apartheid, what is it? Is there substance to that? I mean, how long can your friends, should your friends ever have immunity in terms of these types of abuses? And if so, for how long? It's now nearly 30 years. At which point do we say, well, hold on a minute, we've given you, we haven't criticized for this period of time, but now it's over. Now you need to pull yourselves together.
No, that argument is fundamentally flawed. I don't actually believe Ramaphosa himself, I don't think he's driven as much by that blind loyalty. I think other sections of the ANC, like the Dewey Zulu, wrote that terrible statement. I think she might be, but I think it's a flawed argument, to say that because the Soviet Union of old, which coincidentally included Ukraine as part of the old USSR, and I think it was Zaik Sundar, the novelist, who wrote on Twitter on the weekend about how in fact he and his comrades found refuge in Ukraine, in what's now known as the independent Ukraine, then part of the Soviet Union. And how they plays, anti-apartheid plays were performed in Kiev. So, I mean, a very important, if you want to talk support for the struggle, Kiev was right up there, and the people of Ukraine. So I think that argument is just so flawed. I think it's something more sinister, and I've alluded to it in my columns in the past 2 weeks, and that I think there's deals that were made between Putin and South Africa. We all know the history of the scuppered nuclear deal with Rosatom, where Rosatom was awarded the tender to build a nuclear plant, only to be cancelled by the Western Cape High Court. And I think there is still some very bad blood there. I thought there's still some quid pro quo to be paid. There was rumors of cash having been transferred already to South Africa as success fees for that deal. We've seen nuclear making a comeback now in Gwede Mantashe's energy mix. So we're going to have to keep a very close eye on that.
It's very, very frightening. Before I let you go, I just wanted to very quickly get your view on the Russia Today situation. Of course, we know that once again the ANC blew it by making a statement that was either knowingly factually incorrect or just appallingly ignorant. But what is your thought around the concept of not allowing a station like Russia Today to be on our TV screens?
I think it's a complicated matter, and I see a lot of media experts has come out in defense of Russia Today having the right to be broadcast. I think my view is slightly different, and I'll take it back to a local example when we had ANZ7. And Howard, we can look back now, and I think very few of us, after listening to the evidence of Themba Maseko and others before the Zondo Commission, will in absolute good faith say we needed ANZ7 for, you know, a democratic balance of views. Mm-hmm. I think if you look back now, the entire purpose of ANZ7 was to deflect from the real issues of state capture, was to peddle fake news narratives against people like Pravin Gordhan. And you know, even if you're a media freedom and a freedom of expression activist, you have to ask yourself, why would you defend a channel that is completely fake and that is amplifying false narratives around state capture? So in the case of Russia today, I watched some of their coverage of the war, and I mean, they were very, I mean, it was like a parallel unit.
Absolutely.
I mean, they were basically portraying Russia as the saviors of Ukraine. So I must say, in the context of in which the sanctions were introduced, I don't have a major issue with how it's transpired. I think you can still get, but just to finalize, I think you can still get a very good balanced coverage of what's going on in Russia on a variety of news channels available, not only on the DSTV platform, but also on the internet. You know, if you just read widely a number of international 100%. Sources, I think you can get a good view. Yeah.
Absolutely. Audrey Basson, editor at News 24. Thank you, as always.